Welcome to the Talking People podcast. Today I'm going to read an excerpt of a very important book. It was written in 1990 and the title is The Beauty Myth: How Images of Beauty Are Used Against Women. The author is Naomi Wolf. This book is an essential reading, both if you're a woman and a man, and especially if you are a heterosexual woman or a man. But it's not only for heterosexuals. For women, this is very important because the issue of how we look is a big issue in our lives, whether we acknowledge it as such or not. Men also contribute to putting pressure on this, and perhaps they can improve their way of loving women and appreciating women. I'm going to read the first two pages of the introduction. The Beauty Myth. At last, after a long silence, women took to the streets. In the two decades of radical action that followed the rebirth of feminism in the early 1970s, Western women gained legal and reproductive rights, pursued higher education, entered the trades and the professions, and overturned ancient and revered beliefs about their social role. A generation on, do women feel free? The affluent, educated, liberated women of the first world, who can enjoy freedoms unavailable to any women ever before, do not feel as free as they want to. And they can no longer restrict to the subconscious their sense that this lack of freedom has something to do with apparently frivolous issues, things that really should not matter. Many are ashamed to admit that such trivial concerns to do with physical appearance, bodies, faces, hair, clothes, matter so much. But in spite of shame, guilt, and denial, more and more women are wondering if it isn't that they are entirely neurotic and alone, but rather that something important is indeed at stake that has to do with the relationship between female liberation and female beauty. The more legal and material hindrances women have broken through, the more strictly and heavily and cruelly images of female beauty have come to weigh upon us. Many women sense that women's collective progress has stalled. Compared with the heady momentum of earlier days, there is a dispiriting climate of confusion, division, cynicism, and above all, exhaustion. After years of much struggle and little recognition, many older women feel burnt out. After years of taking its life for granted, many younger women show little interest in touching new fire to the torch. During the past decade, women breached the power structure. Meanwhile, eating disorders rose exponentially and cosmetic surgery became the fastest growing medical specialty. During the past 5 years, consumer spending doubled, pornography became the main media category, ahead of legitimate films and records combined, and 33,000 American women told researchers that they would rather lose 10 to 15 pounds than achieve any other goal. More women have more money and more power and scope and legal recognition than we have ever had before. But in terms of how we feel about ourselves physically, we may actually be worse off than our unliberated grandmothers. Recent research consistently shows that inside the majority of the West's controlled, attractive, successful working women, there is a secret underlife poisoning our freedom. Infused with notions of beauty, it is a dark vein of self-hatred, physical obsessions, terror of aging, and dread of lost control. It is no accident that so many potentially powerful women feel this way. We are in the midst of a violent backlash against feminism that uses images of female beauty as a political weapon against women's advancement, the beauty myth. It is the modern version of a social reflex that has been in force since the Industrial Revolution. As women released themselves from the feminine mystique of domesticity, the beauty myth took over its lost ground, expanding as it waned to carry on its work of social control. The contemporary backlash is so violent because the ideology of beauty is the last one remaining of the old feminine ideologies that still has the power to control those women whom second wave feminism would have otherwise made relatively uncontrollable. It has grown stronger to take over the work of social coercion that myths about motherhood, domesticity, chastity, and passivity no longer can manage. It is seeking right now to undo psychologically and covertly all the good things that feminism did for women materially and overtly. So I hope that you take this book seriously, that you get a copy on the Talking People website. You will find some useful links to excerpts or quotes and to all the information about the book. And I hope you get the chance of reading it. It's true that it's not an easy read. I mean, it's an essay, but it's worth it. It's useful for our personal lives and for our social lives too. That's all for now. Have a nice day.